for joining me today to talk about potential urban technologies to reduce flooding impacts in the American Northeast. As an environmentalist yourself, what have you learned about in regards to the impacts of flooding in the Northeast due to climate change? And do you think that these effects impact certain communities more so than others?
So in the Northeast specifically, we are very prone to flooding from sea level rise. A lot of the communities in the Northeast and on the Eastern coast in general live more on the water than some of our other coastal communities. Mm-hmm. So I know that in this area, we are definitely much more susceptible to rising sea levels as a result of climate change. Flooding is less of an issue for us here because we kind of have a lot of control over the waterways as it stands now. But for the most part, I think what we're seeing really is just sea level rise impacts, and you're already starting to see those across the board.
Yes. What about, like, increased precipitation? Is that a factor?
Oh, absolutely. So a lot of our current infrastructure is set for storms that are what we call kind of 10-year, 1-year, 10-year, and 100-year storms. And what we're seeing as a result of climate change is that there's an increased both frequency and intensity of storm surges and storms in general. And so what we will likely be seeing if we continue on current trends is that we will see our infrastructure not be able to handle the increased frequency and increased intensity of these storms. So what you're basically going to be seeing is that those 100-year storms that we have planned for probably will start becoming like 75-year storms, 50-year storms, meaning that these kind of things are going to happen a lot more often and our infrastructure is going to take a lot more damage than what we anticipated when we created it.
Yes. So would you agree that newer infrastructure needs to be put in place?
Absolutely, yes. New technologies are developed constantly, and that's kind of one thing that's hard with some engineering practices is that we kind of put them in and expect them to last for hundreds of years. But when our climate is changing at a pace that's faster than what we're developing, it definitely signifies that we need to update the current infrastructure that we have to kind of match with what we're doing to the climate.
Right. So I've briefly mentioned to you just like at different technologies that I've brainstormed from the research I've done, like permeable pavements to absorb rainwater, irrigation systems to carry floodwaters, and retention basins to concentrate and supply this rainwater for future use and just for safety purposes. So in regards to these technologies, how feasible do you think it is to implement these community-wide?
I think it's personally 100% feasible. A lot of these projects are very simple. They're cheap, especially if you're working with the community in general. What you can do is kind of make it a community thing to do. So really the issue that you're kind of talking about here is decreasing the impervious surface that's available in communities and allowing more rainwater infiltration, which would really just decrease the amount of flooding that we have. And really just kind of getting rid of some concrete and putting in green areas are things that a lot of people are willing to do. And with the right help and donations, it's much more feasible than what you would expect. Doesn't take a whole lot of money to put in a green space or anything like that. And I think with the right connections and actual community involvement, it would be not only a fun thing for the community to do at a time, but also something where the community could gather around and turn it into a public space as well.
Right. Yeah. I was mentioning that, well, in the paper that I did, that I wanted like the community to work with like engineering firms, the local government, you know, a local ecologist at, you know, various universities. So these like different stakeholders working together, which is what you said, like it's very feasible for the community to be involved, which is great.
Absolutely.
Do you think there's anything that would make these technologies, the implementation of these technologies more feasible? Like you said, funding?
Oh, funding would be probably one of the biggest things. Especially in the current era of politics, there's not really a whole lot of funding going into the sciences in general. A lot of these practices, we know they work and we know they're better, but it's kind of like an industry versus environment type thing. So a lot of industries decide that it's better for them to pay fees to the government in order to do what they want to do instead of kind of minding what the environment needs. So I think that kind of if one of two things, one, using some of that money and really putting it back in and getting some more funding just for simple environmental projects, but also kind of strengthening the regulations around industry and development, I think would be super helpful, and kind of requiring more of these porous surfaces like the pavers that you're talking about, and kind of in implementing more of these stormwater infrastructure things would actually help a lot more. Personally, I feel like we could probably do more with that than we currently are at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. And so it would also be helpful to sort of, instead of just like giving money to the government to fund various projects, like specify what it is necessary for and sort of like advocate for these advancements.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think that would be, again, a community-wide thing that could be
nice
involved, and also something that would benefit the communities in general. And it doesn't have to be a national government type thing. A lot of these things can happen within your local government as well. So even if you petition to your mayor, or I mean, even getting down to the like nitty and gritty, you can petition to a homeowners association to kind of help increase the more natural areas in the community itself. So you don't have to go and break down the doors of the White House to get anything done. You can do something much more local and have it be just as effective, if not more.
Right. Awesome. So one of the main philosophies I orient these technologies around is that society and nature are indefinitely interconnected. And therefore, I wanted to take these technologies a step further by gradually facilitating, or having the community facilitate, a native aquatic ecosystem in these retention basins to sort of advance green spaces. So what would you say the roles are of aquatic ecosystems for both the surrounding environment and the community members?
So there's so many that we could go into, but really the top few that you're going to find that would be super key points in a community, like a small community like that, it would be the waste filtering abilities. So not only would a system like a sediment basin filter out sediment, which is what it's supposed to do, but it also helps retain a lot of the trash and the bacteria and the nutrients from the surrounding area before that would enter another ecosystem or downstream and get into our oceans eventually. Things that are like that along the way can really help to prevent some more pollution from getting into our streams, rivers, and oceans, which is key at this point, as I'm sure you all know. And another thing that is really big and kind of unfortunately more important in a lot of people's eyes is aesthetics. And this is one of the factors that a lot of people include. Ponds and sediment basins and stuff like that can be quite beautiful and offer a lot to the community itself in terms of an attraction, especially if you turn something like a pond or a sediment basin into a local park. There's already a lot of that being done, but I think if we did it on a more widespread scale, it would kind of improve the public image of these areas and also kind of help with the upkeep as well, because it's much easier to say allocate money for a park cleaning budget than it is to go muck out a sediment basin every once in a while. It just sounds better if you're saying this is for park beautification.
Yeah, so like aesthetic as well as, you know, just filtration systems to naturally help the water, you know, be usable in other forms.
Absolutely, yeah. Certain ways of reducing groundwater or stormwater really do provide a lot of nice areas to provide habitat for wetland vegetation and other animals as well. So the aesthetics really go into that. If you think about most local lakes and ponds, those are man-made for the most part, and a lot of them act as stormwater basins. So having more of them around and maybe doing a little more upkeep in them and maintaining the native vegetation and the native communities, I think would go a long way in terms of both increasing the aesthetics in the neighborhoods and also just kind of, you know, increasing the environmental value of the property.
Right. And, you know, also enhancing education for others to sort of get to know the native plant species and animal species, I'm sure can.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, Reese, this has been a very informative collaboration. I'm really glad I was able to speak with a professional in the field of hydrology and ecology, and hopefully soon various flood technologies become more profound and community generated while providing a comfort for those who may need it during these more climatic trying times.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me.